chapter. If you go to Revelation and go back one book, you'll find the book of Jude. Once you found it, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Jude, we'll read verses 20 through 23. Let's read all the way to verse 25. We'll read verse 25 altogether. Jude, verse 20. I'll read verses 20 through 24, and we'll read verse 25 altogether. What you found it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference. That's our key verse. That's our theme for the year. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 25, altogether. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Father, we'd ask that you would meet with us in this moment as we open your scriptures and really attempt to convey what's written here by Jude. We pray, God, that you would help us to capture this idea of making a difference, of having compassion of those around us. And I pray, Father, for you to help me and empty me of myself, cleanse me of sin, fill me with the Holy Ghost so I can preach thy word. Father, you know my inabilities. You understand my weaknesses. I pray, God, you'd fill in where I'm needed, where it's needed. Father, be with those that are here. Help them to listen attentively. Remove any distractions. Help us to concentrate on thy word because it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can help us here this morning. Encourage us. It can strengthen us. It can convict us. Dear God, it can rebuke us and help us to do such. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. The title of the message is Making a Difference, Making a Difference. Now, this book was written by Jude. Jude is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also mentioned in Mark chapter 6 in verse number 3. That verse says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah? And Judah is another form of the name Jude. And Simon, those are the brothers. And also it says, and are not his sisters here with us? These are the brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, mentioned here by the half-brother of Jude. Of course, Jude here is writing to Christians. And Jude is talking about the dangers of false teachers. That's what he's writing about here. He's talking about the dangers of being an apostate. The idea of being an apostate is to fall away from key and true doctrines of the faith. And so he's writing to them, warning them about the dangers of doing so. In Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6, it gives us a warning about false teachers. It says, marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. It's hard to believe someone would do that, huh? Pervert the gospel of Christ. Why would they do that? Notice what it says, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I love the fact that I didn't tell Brother Eddie what to preach about this morning. And it really lines up to what we're going to be talking about here. He's talking about false doctrines and religions and folks that don't see Jesus to who he really and truly is. You see, false teachers do not have the Spirit of God. We were talking about this recently. Well, what spirit do they have if they're out there and they're walking and they're dedicating hours and hours of time of walking up and down those pavements or riding those bicycles, going door to door? They're more diligent than we are, and they're more studied than we are. But to think about that, what spirit are they operating in? Because it's not the same spirit that we're operating in. It's not the same Jesus, as we learned here this morning in Sunday school. No matter what they think or say, the spirit they have is not the Spirit of God. The true Spirit of God confesses that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in the flesh. That's the true spirit. I heard about a group that used to be a church. In fact, they being in a building like ours, looks like a nice, good old Baptist church with a steeple and everything. And they still meet there. This particular group, according to the USA Today, they don't call themselves a church anymore. They said in the article, we are an ever-loving, ever-evolving spiritual collective. The pastor said, if you're a Christian, wonderful. If you're a post-Christian, that's wonderful. We prefer questions over answers and have no intention of converting anybody to anything. It said LGBTQ inclusion is not up for debate. People of all faiths and no faiths are welcome. Jesus can be your savior, a radical rabbi, or to a metaphor or a metaphor depending on your spiritual inclination. You see, this is the kind of false doctrines that Jude was talking about. People that maybe once believed what we believe, but they fell away from the faith. Now they're teaching false doctrines, things that are contrary to the Word of God. 2 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9, it says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You understand when these folks come to your door and they knock on your door and they want to tell you about their false doctrine, the Bible is telling us here that we are not to even invite them into our home or to say, God bless you when they leave. No. You say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I have no interest in what you have to say. Goodbye. Close the door. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. The Bible tells us here that you'll be a partaker of his evil deeds. If you're like, hey, Godspeed, God bless you. Now, good luck to you on your journey. No. They're a false doctrine. That's a cult. And we should stand up against such things. So not only do we see false doctrines that are going on in our land, I mean, it's abounding, these false doctrines, but we're living in a society that is only getting worse by the day. Have you noticed? I mean, it's only getting worse. My goodness, if you just want to be depressed, just turn on the news. I feel like being depressed today. Let's just go and watch something to depress me. That's what you're going to do because you're going to see all the bad things that are happening in our society. Oh, look at the gender confusion that's going on. We don't even know if we're boys or girls. But the Bible is so plain about that, and the Bible is so clear about that. He made Adam and Eve. I mean, there's no other genders. We don't have to be confused about how many genders. There's not 52 genders. You know, the Bible's clear. There's male and there's female. Pick one. There's violence in our land. Wars and rumors of wars going on. There's lawlessness in California due to the lack of enforcement and punishment. Have you noticed that? People can run inside retail stores and grab all the stuff you can and as in mobs and run out. Ah, let's go. No one's going to stop us. That's crazy. That is crazy to think of. It's false teachers and religions, they abound in our land, et cetera, et cetera. Some would say it's not worth the effort. How can we make a difference? It's not worth the effort. There's no way we're going to be able to really scratch this thing. There's no way. What can we do about these false teachers in our society? It's tearing itself apart. Well, the only way that you and I can make a difference is through faith. It's the only way we can do it is through faith. You and I must exercise faith if we are to accomplish some great things for God. If we're to make a difference, it's going to have to be through faith. In fact, James 2:18 says, yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. He says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, we can't say we have faith and don't act upon that faith. We have to act upon it. You can't say, I believe, but you never do anything to really support that. It's not enough to say God can do something. We must step out by faith and make a difference. I mean, the only way we're going to be able to reach our goals for 2024 is going to have to be through faith. I want you to catch the vision, amen. I have the faith, and I'm just trying to pass it on to you. How are we going to do this? How are we going to get a van and start driving around in the city of Tulare, picking up people from Tipton? That's what I picture. We have a Tipton route, pick them up nice and early. Bring them on in, and we go up to North Visalia, bring them, amen, come around to Larry, drop some folks off. Oh, how are we going to have new soul-winning opportunities that we're trying to do without faith? How are we going to double our attendance? Well, we must exercise faith. How are we going to reach our city? We framed this map of our city. We're going to put it on the wall to remind us that we need to reach the city of Tulare. It's going to go in the hallway, amen. It's the best map I could find. It was at the Commerce. Was that the Commerce? Where was it, brother? Chamber of Commerce. And it lays out our city. Just to remind us, this is our town, amen. We got to reach our town for Jesus. How are we going to do that? By faith. It's the only way we can do it. Because really, we can't do it on our own. We can't do this. There's no way to really think we can do it. It's so big. We must exercise faith. So how do we make a difference? Well, first, there has to be an internal difference-making occurring, and that's what Jude lays out. And then there will be an external one as well. So let's look at it together. Look at verse 20. Ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. So I want you to notice the number one, building up yourself. That's the very first thing that we have to do. And we have some slides we're going to put up as we announce these. But we're going to be building up ourselves. So how do we build ourselves up on our most holy faith? On our most holy faith. But you got to know what by faith means, really, to understand how we're going to do it. By faith means our beliefs, the body of truth that we have learned from Scripture. And it is the Holy Scriptures is what we based everything on, right? It's the Scriptures that tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Scriptures that tells us about man. It's the Scriptures that tells us about this world. You see, what we know should not be based upon traditions or our opinions. It should be based upon the Word of God. Everything. You see, what we believe as Baptists is, the Scriptures is our sole authority. That's what we believe. If you don't believe it, you should believe it. Because what else are you believing? A man book is what you're believing. If you don't believe the Bible, you're believing something else other than the Bible. And the Bible is God's Word. And so we believe God's Word to be the answer to everything for our life and practice. Don't let a church ordinance of man get in the way of what the Bible says. Don't let it. You see, if tradition contradicts the Word of God, we need to go with the Word of God, man. I don't care what is said from the pulpit. If it's contradicting the Word of God, you go with the Word of God. You and I need to study the Word. We need to meditate on the Word. This is how we're going to make a difference. We need to learn the Word. You see, Bible reading, I don't hit on it a lot here because I don't want people to get into a program where they, you know, read through the Bible in a year. It's just you're checking boxes. But you should be reading the Bible. You really should be. You should be getting into something. If you need help with the Bible reading plan, we can help you with that. But you should be getting into the Word in some type of way. Getting involved in discipleship. Memorizing the Word. And then ultimately, living the Word. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith. We need to let the Bible guide us. Because what? It is God's Word. So all these things we're going to be talking about are all internal that we're going to need to do. That's what Jude's going to tell us here. I love what Acts 17:11 says. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's what we need to do. Is it so? By the way, check it out. That's why we tell you to bring your Bible. Amen. You ever been to a church where you don't bring your Bible? That guy up there, if you saying anything, you'd be like, okay, I believe you. No. Bring your Bible and verify. Amen. Okay, look it up. That's why we tell you to bring your Bible. And you can look it up and verify what's being said and search the Scriptures whether those things were so. So making a difference occurs as we build up ourselves in the faith. So we see how to make a difference by building up ourselves. Number two, through prayer. Through prayer. Look at verse 20, the last part there. It says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Notice, praying in the Holy Ghost. That sounds spooky, huh? Are we apostolic in here? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, this means we pray under the guidance and the influence of the Holy Ghost. That's what it means. We had to invite the Holy Ghost in on our prayer. How often do we pray and we don't really invite him in? We just pray. Oh, God, please help me. Instead, you know, Holy Spirit of God, help me, guide me, teach me, help me to pray the proper way. Make sure it's proper what I'm saying. It's not, you know, something that's sinful. Because our prayers could be sinful. That's what James talks about. You know, we may consume it upon our lusts. And so we want to make sure that we're doing it in the right motive. So praying in the Holy Ghost. We can ask his help as we approach the throne of grace. You know, we've been given a wonderful gift by God. Think about that. He gave us his Spirit. That's a beautiful gift. He gave us the Spirit of God to be able to guide us on this trail of life. What a beautiful thing. It's a precious gift. Andrew Murray wrote about this particular gift that's given the Holy Spirit. He said it is impossible to conceive of God bestowing any higher gift on his child than his own Spirit. God is what he is through his Spirit. The Spirit is the very life of God. Just think what it means for God to give his own Spirit to his child on earth. That's a beautiful thing. Let me give you a few pointers about this morning. We need to focus our minds. This is how we invite the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, into our prayers. You focus your minds and concentrate upon the Holy Spirit, depending upon him as you pray, depending upon him to help you pray. We ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse our request and make sure that what we ask is according to the will of God. Holy Spirit, is this right? What I'm praying about, it's not just because I want this, but it's the right motives behind this. Holy Spirit will purify that for you. He'll convict you. This is not right. I'm not praying in the right motive here. And so we need to invite him in. This is how we make a difference. You and I need to set time aside every day and wrestle in prayer with God. You say, what for, Pastor? For the needs of loved ones. For the needs of yourself, for the needs of your friends, for the needs of our community, for the needs of our church, for the needs of your pastor and his family, for the needs of your family, for the needs of, you just mention anything. I mean, your boss, amen, at work. Wrestle with God every day about these things. Take time to pray before God about these things. John R. Rice said this, all of our failures are prayer failures. Why do we fail? We don't pray. And we don't really pray right. You know, if we have power, we invite the Holy Spirit in and to help us with our prayers, my goodness, we'll have the right prayers. Can you turn to Psalm 55? Psalm 55, please. I appreciate your prayers as I preach. Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse number 17. The Bible tells us, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Amen. Look at chapter 62. Trust, verse 8, 62:8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit is so important in our prayer life. So important. Like I said, he helps you. He's going to help you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 in particular tells us of the role of the Holy Spirit in helping you pray. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth that is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You ever didn't know what to pray for? That's the Holy Spirit's job, to come in there and help you. I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray for. Well, the Holy Spirit can help you with that. Come in and help you and cleanse that up for you a little bit. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. So empty your soul, Christians, to the Lord. Turn the vessel of your soul upside down. Give him your thoughts, your desires, your fears, your anxieties, and don't hide anything from him. Confess your sins, knowing that he stands ready to forgive you of your sins. Share your needs, knowing that he's going to help you. Oh, tell him your worries, knowing that he's going to comfort you and take care of that for you. Oh, how do we make a difference? Oh, number one, we build ourselves up. Number two, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then notice number three, verse 21 in Jude. Verse 21, and we'll look at our next one. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We find number three, keeping in the love of God. That's how we make a difference. Beloved, we need to build ourselves up by keeping ourselves in the love of God. We really do. What is this all about? Well, John 15:9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You want to keep in the love of God? You'll do what Jesus tells you to do. You'll obey his commandments. This is how we'll transform your life, and this is how we'll make a difference. You'll abide in his love. You'll stay in his love when we listen to what he tells us to do. The love of God is tied to our obedience. Our obedience. He said, that's not fair. It doesn't really happen with our children. We do have a strain in our relationship. That happens. We still love our child when they disobey us. But ultimately, our love, God's love for us, is tied to our obedience, how we obey his commands, whether we do so or not. By the way, this in no way means that you can lose your salvation, because we can always find false doctrines. People throw false doctrines in here with this as well. No, you need to keep yourself in the love of God. Well, that means I got to keep myself saved. No, that's not what he's talking about. You're always saved. If you're saved, you're always saved. That's what we believe here. Amen. We don't believe in churches where you got to get saved every day. Amen. There are churches out there that believe that. How exhausting would that be? Amen. Every day you had to get saved over and over because I sinned and I messed up. And we don't believe that here. That is a false doctrine. We can make a difference internally in our lives, and then we can do so outwardly. And so all these things I mentioned is what we're going to be working on this year. All these things we're going to be working on to build ourselves up internally so we can make a difference. And then what's going to happen after that? You're going to be able to manifest that outwardly as well. Notice. So not only are we building ourselves up, we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we're keeping in the love of God. Now notice verse number 22. And of some, having compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I like that. Number four is a soul-winning life. A soul-winning life. The byproducts of building yourself up is to now focus outwardly to other people. You see, the Christian experience is meant to be shared. How many of us here, you know, glad somebody has shared Jesus with you? Amen. You'd probably say, hallelujah, I'm so glad that happened. Well, now we need to go take what we've gotten and give that to someone else and just share that with someone else. It's meant to be shared. It's never meant to be kept to ourselves. Have compassion also. Meet people's physical needs. So you're meeting their physical needs. You'll meet their spiritual needs as well. 1 John 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And so ultimately, if we see someone in need, we should meet that need. If we can meet it, some of us can meet needs in here. I believe that. We have the ability to meet needs, financially help people. We should do it. We should be a blessing to other people. Amen? We need to do a little bit better when people are sick, bringing food over their house. I think we could do a little bit better job in that. Nobody brought Pastor no soup. No, we did have an offer. We turned it down. But we need to do a little bit better at that, amen, to be more, a little more concerned with each other and helping each other with that kind of thing. I think we can do better with that. Amen. But we can also meet people's spiritual needs as well. Pull those out of the fire who are being deceived by these false doctrines. We have to warn people of the judgment and the danger of eternal doom if they reject and turn against God's Son. Save them from the fire. That's what Jesus said. Save them from the fire. Well, what's the fire? I appreciated that message that Brother Nelson preached last week. And he touched on hell. And I want to touch on it just a little bit more here this morning. We need to understand what that is every once in a while so we know what we're trying to do when it comes to soul winning and just how important it is to save them from the fire. What is fire? It's hell, is what it is. Revelation 20:10 describes hell as a place of torment. It's not fun. Matthew 25:41, hell is an eternal, everlasting fire. That means it lasts forever. It's not a temporary thing. And we would like to think, oh God, why would he just send them to a place of eternal damnation in hell? There should be relief. There should be a time where they can get out. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. It says it's an eternal fire. Just like there's an eternal heaven. You see, if God wasn't just, well, God is just. That's why he does what he does. He's just. Just like he's just and righteous things, he loves us. He provided a home in heaven. He's also going to punish evil as well. And so he has to. If he's going to be equal in his justice, there has to be a place of torment. Matthew 13:50, it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell. In 2 Peter 2:4, it's a place of darkness. Hell's a real place. And it's a place that people are dying and going to every single day. And we need to do our best to warn others. Are you here today? And maybe not saved? And maybe your destination right now is a place called hell? You know, God doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want anybody to go there. He wants us to be saved and trust him as our Savior and be in a place called heaven. But if you're here today, oh, please get that settled. Don't put your hand up at this free gift of salvation and refuse to accept it. Accept it. Take it. So we need to be a witness. You know, before I was leaving for my sabbatical, I was ready to go. I was packing up my car, my vehicle, and getting that thing ready. I was excited, man, getting ready to head to the coast. But there was a car parked across the street, and it had the hood up, and I really didn't want to deal with it. I was like, oh, my goodness, I just want to get out of here. Let's get to the coast. But I said, you know, Holy Spirit's telling me, go talk to them, see if you can be a help to them. And so I did. I went across the street there, and I said, what's the problem? He said, well, my vehicle's dead there. I said, well, I can give you a jump if you like. Oh, you could? Oh, great. Sure, let's hook up the cables. Hooked up the cables, car started right away, and took the cables, and he put them away, and I began to talk to him and see what's going on with them and see if there's anything else he needed. And he began to say, you know what, no, people usually don't want to help me. He said, they think I'm trying to sell them something, is what he said. I said, well, I'm not. I didn't think you were trying to sell me anything. I just wanted to help you. He went on to go and tell me, you know, sometimes I feel suicidal. So, well, I went into my car there, and I opened the door and grabbed a tract out of the door, and I began to give it to him there and be able to share the gospel with him and witness to him, you know, and tell him about some of the verses that were in there and things of that nature. And he had to drive all the way to Salinas, I believe it was, and I just, you know, I said, when you get a chance, you know, closely read this through and meditate on what it says here. And I just began to witness to him. And, you know, that's what we need to have here. And we've got to see people the way Jesus sees them, okay, as a soul in need of a Savior. It will inconvenience you greatly, you know, because you just want to go to the market. I just need to go into grocery aisle and get some stuff. I don't want to talk to the guy that's sitting out there. But you got to do it. The Holy Spirit's pricking your heart. Stop. Have compassion. Amen. Because if we don't, these people are slipping into a Christless eternity. We got to do something about it. We need to have compassion on people. Be a witness to people. Make a difference. Take a look outwardly to those around you. You see, God wants us to get our eyes off of ourselves and our own situation for a little while and just simply look outwardly. The outward look is so important. It demonstrates that we are not only concerned for our own spiritual welfare, but we're concerned for other people as well. It's not just about being concerned for ourselves, but others. It proves that we genuinely care about others. You know, I looked up the definition of that word compassion. It says to have mercy on, to help one afflicted or seeking aid, to help the afflicted, to bring help to the wretched, to experience mercy by word or deed. We need to have compassion. Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son, is a great story, and we'll get there here in a little bit as we study the book of Luke, of having compassion. Of course, we know the son, he left the home and went and lived a righteous life, spent all his inheritance away. Found himself eating in the pig pile there, and then he came to his senses. He said, what am I doing? He came back home. Father sees him, and it was the father. Really, the story, I think, is about the father. Because as he sees his son coming down that driveway there, he began to run to him. And the Bible tells us he had compassion on his son. Give me a hug, son. You're back. You're back home. And that's what it's all about. Having compassion, towards people. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man who had compassion. He had compassion on the multitudes. In Mark 9:36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I can give you verse after verse after verse where it tells about Jesus had compassion, had compassion, had compassion, had compassion. We just don't have time here this morning. But he did. He was a compassionate, compassionate man. The psalmist says in 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. Our God is full of compassion. Let me ask you this, church. How many of you out here, by raise of hand, you know someone, you have a friend or you have a relative that you know is not saved? Amen. Somebody knows, you know, almost all of us here, we know somebody that is not saved. Now, how many of you are praying for that person? Good. How many could do better at that? Amen. We could do something. We could at least be praying for the lost. Yeah. There is a thought out there that maybe everyone that gets saved has been prayed for. I don't know how sure that is, but that prayer is so powerful that it was your grandma or your mother or your friend or somebody prayed for you, and that's why you got saved. I don't know how true that is, but is that possible? More people would get saved if we simply prayed. We prayed for our friends. We prayed for our relatives. We prayed for our neighbors. We prayed for our boss. We just prayed and prayed and prayed. Are you praying for their salvation here this morning? Oh, we can at least do that, huh? Please save my brother. Please save my mama. Please save my child. We pray for Carson to get saved. He's turned 7. We're waiting for the moment where he'll start being curious and asking about Jesus. But we're praying already for Carson. We want him to get saved. We can't take that for granted. So as we close here this morning, for 2024, this theme hits at the heart of our ministry here at Crossview, seeing people as God sees them, as sheep needing a shepherd, as souls with a destiny. So what do? How do we make a difference? Let's do a little review. Building yourself up, knowing the scriptures, amen. Getting into the Word, knowing the Word of God this year. Hopefully that's what you'll do. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. You're having the Holy Ghost help you in your prayers. He's guiding you through your prayers. Then you're keeping in the love of God. You're obeying His commandments, what He tells you to do. And then you have a soul-winning life, amen, through prayer and by deed. So you're going to be praying for people to be saved that you know. And then you're going to be trying to reach people. You're going to be trying to give them tracts. And we're going to be doing more this year. Hopefully we can do more this year. Amen. Please keep tracts on you. Because if you have them on you, you're more likely to use them and hand them out. And this year, do it. Wherever you go. They may not come to our church. That's fine. But maybe they'll get saved. Amen. It has a good, clear explanation of the gospel in English and Spanish. Grab some of these. We have hundreds still. We're going to be giving these out in Tipton soon, next week. And so, man, be a part of that. Carry these around. Get your man purse, guys, whatever you got, amen, and fanny pack. And carry them around and give them out. Be a blessing. Ladies, you have purses, amen. Keep them in your door. I'm glad there was some in the door that day when I was able to talk to that gentleman. And it'll make a difference. It will make a difference. And so be a part of what God is doing with that. Why do we do all these things? Why make a difference? Notice the last verses in Jude. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior. Notice, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Why do we do it? So that God can get the glory. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. That's why we do it. So he can get all the glory and the dominion and the power. And everything gets pointed back to Jesus. Amen. Everything gets pointed back to him. And I believe more people will be saved as a result. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you for the attentiveness of thy people. I pray, God, you'd guide us and help us in this time of invitation. Dear God, we love you. Help us to make a difference in 2024. Oh, guide us, Lord. Help us to do more than we've ever done before. Thank you for pricking hearts already so far, coming out soul winning, doing more for you. We're already seeing souls saved. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.